Greetings to the brightest audience in the nation. Is America facing a week of vaccine mandate reckoning? Or will liberty and common sense step us back from the cliff? Stick with us to find out. I'm Doug McBurney. Welcome to KGOV.com, where we come at the news of the day from a Christian perspective with a biblical worldview. And we're going to talk a little bit about all of that news of the day and the vaccine mandates and what all is happening with that. But I want to clarify something. I've noticed that a number of conservatives have taken to the airwaves with statements something like this. The government doesn't have the authority to make us take medicine we don't want. The government does not have the authority to mandate vaccines. Is that true? Is that true? And I'm not talking about in some sense of Democratic, Republican, whatever this laughable form of government that we're currently suffering under right now. I'm not talking about all that. That's just foolishness and silliness, obsessed with transgendered pronouns, stealing everyone's money, and basically entertaining themselves in gross decadence and luxury. That's what we have at the head. But what about a real government? A just government, a good government, where you woke up in the morning and you did not have a grievance against the government every moment of every day like we all do right now. We all have a reason to grieve every day under the current administration, the Hyde and Barris administration, as we like to call it. That's right. But would a just government have the authority to make you take medicine you don't want? Well, the answer to that is a biblical answer. And the answer generally is no. The government does not have the authority to make you take medicine you don't want. Now, could there ever be a just exception to that rule? Well, if you're familiar with the scriptures, the obvious answer is yes. There are exceptions to that rule. So if there's an existential crisis, like an epidemic, or even a global pandemic, as everyone likes to call it, because that's so much cooler than epidemic. A global pandemic. Well, if there is an epidemic of a deadly disease, and it's sweeping across the countryside, and people are dying, and the healthcare system is being overwhelmed to the point where people are dying because of that, or the infrastructure of civilization is coming apart at the seams and bodies are piling up in the streets and there's an existential crisis, then the government does have the authority to make you take medicine even if you don't think you want it or don't want it or don't think you need it. The government would have the authority to mandate a vaccine. Now, don't start booing me. I know Donald Trump got booed by his own supporters, and I'm just going to say supporters and I'm going to leave it at that. Yeah, he got booed. Where's my note here? Donald Trump said, I take the vaccines. I recommend taking the vaccines. I can't do Donald Trump. Anyway, although there's really no need anymore to do Donald Trump. He said, he told his, he had a rally in Alabama. And he told his supporters that I recommend taking the vaccines. And they booed him. So don't start booing me because I don't want to be booed here. But I do want to give you the biblically correct view on what the government has the right to do and what it doesn't have the right to do. So back to that, as now the boos have subsided and the hisses and I've ducked all the tomatoes. The government has the authority in an existential crisis to do almost anything it wants. The government has, I think there's a legal term, they have plenary authority. Which means authority answerable only to God, the God of justice. The government has, there is no authority over the government except God. And so in a crisis, the governing officials would act and they would do, hopefully, their best to do what was right. And any errors they make or any tyranny they impose or anything criminal they do, they would be judged not by any earthly authority, but by God. And hopefully in a just government, that would prevent them from becoming thieving, lying tyrants. And so the government does have the authority to do that in certain cases. Does Joe Biden have the authority to issue a vaccine mandate in the current situation? No, he does not. In fact, it's tyrannical and it's criminal. And by the way, it's not even real. It's like I said last week, it's basically a press conference and everybody goes along with it. Why? He's a doddering old fool who barely even knows where he is. How is it that we're all listening to him and bending the knee in obeisance to a fool? Anyway, but here we are. What can you do? Let's see. Where do I want to go? By the way, what's my biblical source for that? That's important. If you're going to make a point and say this is biblically accurate, you need to have something to back that up. You can go to the story of Gideon, and you can realize that in a time of crisis, the government has the authority to take your actual body and do with it whatever they want. They can conscript you into the military and send you into a hail of gunfire. Or swords in Gideon's time. And in the New Testament, you can go to Romans and read what Paul says. And Jesus said, "Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's." And so there's your biblical worldview right off the top here. And now I want to go. Speaking of tyranny and tyrants, like the ones in the Hyde and Barris administration, that's Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. Kamala. The Hyde and Barris administration. We go to the widespread tyranny file where the Canadians have outdone the Hyde and Barris administration because Pastor Pavlovsky is in trouble once again. Pastor Artur Pavlovsky, who went viral when he told the Nazi stormtroopers to get out of his church. He's currently serving a sentence there. In our frigid neighbors to the north, with our frigid neighbors to the north, they're in Canada. He's on probation for 18 months. And what does that mean? Well, because the Canadian government has somehow convinced everyone that there's a crisis, that means pretty much whatever the Canadian government says it means. That's right. They say he violated pandemic rules. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the final term of his probation, according to a judge, let's see here. Is this a judge or is this just a health services bureaucrat? No, this is a judge. You can't hardly tell the difference between judges and public health officials and military generals. They all have assumed similar powers, oddly enough, in the wake of what is almost an imaginary crisis. Well, it is a real pandemic. But it's an imaginary crisis. It's an imaginary public health crisis. But they've all convinced everyone in Canada and pretty much everywhere in the world to just get down on your knees and let the government grind over you and roll over you and take your body and do with it whatever it wants, although it has no authority to do any of that. But here's what the judge in Canada has told Pastor Pavlovsky. They told Pastor Pavlovsky, you are allowed to get up in the pulpit and you are allowed to say that you disagree with the pandemic rules. But you must also communicate the following. And they wrote him a script saying what he must say if he says he disagrees with the government. This reminds me a lot of when you go to post anything that's actually true on Facebook, that they put a notification on there directing people to other information that's not true or not as true, which is just a really eerie, weird, creepy, sick thing and why I don't generally use Facebook. I'm sure it happens on the other platforms as well. I'm just not familiar. Because I'm not obsessed with all of this all the time. I'm not obsessed with what other people think about me and what other people are talking about all the time. I generally could care less. I'd rather be left out of all that. But I come here a couple of days a week as much as I can. As long as you'll have me, I'll keep coming and trying to communicate a Christian worldview through the din and the static and the fake, corrupt propaganda and all the garbage that's going on. All right. Anyway, so they wrote a script for Artur Pavlovsky. If he says he disagrees with the pandemic rules, he must also say, here's what you're going to say, pastor, if you don't want to go to jail. You know you're on probation, eh? You better watch it. You're to say this, Mr. Pavlovsky, and try to say it with a Canadian accent because your Polish accent is somewhat annoying to us. You are to say, I am also aware that the views I am expressing may not be views held by medical experts. While I may disagree with them, I am obliged to inform you that the majority of medical experts favor social distancing, mask wearing, and avoiding large crowds to reduce the spread of COVID-19. Most medical experts also support the vaccination program. That's the script written for Artur Pavlovsky by some dim-witted bureaucrat in the Canadian government. I predict that Pastor Pavlovsky will not read the script in church, and that he will disagree with the authorities, and that maybe they'll storm his church, kick in the doors, and drag him off to prison. But that's the way it must be, I suppose. But anyway, as we go forward into this week and we see that there are some judges stepping in and trying to reduce the impact of the vaccine mandate insanity that threatens to collapse. Well, you got some judges, you got some companies. Some companies are actually being forced to resist by their employees, which is kind of encouraging to see some people actually standing up and saying, no, I'll actually quit. It's like a domino. It's like the dominoes are all set up. And the insane sex pervert tyrants who've seized the government in America and the world are ready to just knock down that first domino with their vaccine mandate and just to finally get the big crisis they've been hoping for. You know, they didn't get the crisis back in the spring of 2020 because the bodies didn't pile up and the healthcare system was never overwhelmed. So they went for an alternative crisis with the George Floyd and the Black Lives Matter and the burning down of the Walgreens and the looting of the banks. And they got a pretty good amount of what they wanted. What with the mayhem and the summer of lawlessness that has sent really the entire world on into a tailspin, into the abyss, if we're not careful and if we're not attentive to our responsibility as adult Christians to save these heathens from themselves in a temporal sense and in a spiritual sense, if we can just try to tell them. But when you've got people like these bureaucrats in Canada insisting that basically slapping a script into the mouth of a free man, it's quite disconcerting. That's all. It's quite disconcerting, and I'm not at all optimistic about how things shake out, whether the vaccine mandates actually collapse. I mean, half the seals are gone, and half the post office will be gone. I forget, like, most of the truck drivers will stop, and Walmart will collapse. I don't know what's going to happen. But it's going to happen, and the one thing that will remain standing after whatever happens with these insane people and their insane, tyrannical lust for power, the one thing that will stand will be the scripture and the truth of the gospel. That will be the same after the dust settles, no matter which way it all settles out. And we'll be here. Well, we'll be here as long as you want us here. And if you want the broadcast to continue, go to KGOV.com. And subscribe to one of the monthly products, Bible studies, sermons, lots of great biblical material. Or just make a monthly donation, $5, $10, $25,000 a month, whatever you can afford. Keep us going here. Or buy one of everything at the store at KGOV.com. And the show will go on as long as you are interested. And you show your interest by putting some skin in the game. That's right. By donating or buying some of the products. I encourage you to do that. So from the widespread tyranny file and the tyranny against Artur Pavlovsky from our neighbors to the north, we go to the personhood file to Alabama. How did this make it into the personhood file? Well, I'll have to read it and find out. There was a high school football game in Alabama last Friday night. And four people were shot. Unfortunately, at least as of the time we go to air, nobody has died. But there's basically a mass shooting at a high school football game where everyone's supposed to have fun. Yes, there were gunshots. The players all dive on the ground. I'll link to this article from the Daily Mail. You see pictures. It's quite eerie of strong young men hugging the ground, crying, scared. Spectators running out the gates. Everyone's in fear for their life at a football game on Friday night. According to the police, they say the motive remains unclear, and police do not believe the general public is in immediate danger. But in fact, I would say they are, actually. The general public is actually in immediate danger. How immediate? Well, it's fairly significant, I think. Existential danger out there. So we've been hearing, I heard all last week, and I'm sure we'll hear more about it this week, as the vaccine mandate collapse either occurs or doesn't occur, or there's a little bit of both. As all this goes on, we're hearing how the supply chains, and we might not be able to have Christmas. Your kids might not get everything they want under the Christmas tree this year because the left is intent on collapsing the system and everyone's worried that we're not going to be able to have Christmas. At least not the Christmas we want and the Christmas that we think we deserve. The Christmas that Americans have worked hard and are entitled to is the way I've heard it put by certain so-called conservatives. And just like we're worried about maybe Christmas isn't going to happen, at least you're not going to get all the Chinese trinkets you want because some of them are stuck in the port of Los Angeles because of the aforementioned deranged, tyrannical, criminal sex perverts who seize the government in America and around the world, seem hell-bent on collapsing everything for their own benefit. But Christmas is threatened, and now we can't go to a football game. So now football games, you go to a football game in the back of your mind, you're in a high school football game, well, I could be shot and killed. And by the way, now if you go to the grocery store, I don't know about you, but I walk into the grocery store, I look around. If I'm able, I carry a weapon. Because at the grocery store, you could be shot and killed. Huh? You're just squeezing the avocados, right? You just want to see if you get the right avocado. You could be shot and killed. So there's this level of social tension that we are all being subjected to. And many voices on the right are upset about it. And rightly so. We have every right to be upset about it. I'm upset about it. In fact, I'm angry about it. But all these people at this football game and all the people who are worried about their Chinese sneakers and trinkets coming in on boats from China and how those darn Democrats are messing everything up. All of these people are the same civilians who have been silent, who have just sat silently as the weakest and most defenseless of their neighbors have been butchered and slaughtered right there in their own neighborhoods for generations now. In fact, if you were to take a poll, if you were able to poll the conscience of the crowd at the high school football game in Alabama where four people were shot and wounded and everyone was terrified, if you were able to poll the conscience of that crowd, about a third of them, maybe even a little more than a third of them, have actually participated in the slaughter of the weakest and most defenseless of their own neighbors right there in their own neighborhoods, in fact, within their own families, their own children and grandchildren. They've participated in the greatest criminal act in the history of mankind. About a third of the crowd has actually participated in it. The rest of them have just sat around silently while it occurred. And I'm talking about the murder of nearly 70 million innocent children in America legally, under color of law, since the murder of children was legalized back in... So when a third of you have participated in it and the rest, well, I shouldn't say a third of you, when a third of us have actively participated in the slaughter in this great criminal act, and the other two-thirds have just sat by silently and just entertained themselves while it all occurred, well, you don't get to keep your Friday night lights. You don't get to keep your weekend fun. You might not even get to celebrate Christmas when you allow the streets of your neighborhoods to run with the blood of the innocent and you slaughter your own family members. Can you see how there might be some consequences for that? And so I truly believe that very much of what we are experiencing and the reason everyone is so scared and willing to hand over their liberty to a bunch of maniacal, demonic sex perverts is because we've, as a nation and really as a global community, we've lost moral certitude that we are right. And the reason is because we're not right anymore. We're wrong, generally speaking. We've turned our back on God. And when you turn your back on God, the natural consequences of such an act are your destruction. The destruction of your nation, the destruction of your family, the destruction of yourself, and ultimately the destruction of your very soul. And so this broadcast is just a shout, a screaming, a cry to the world to stop. To stop entertaining yourselves and obsessing over satisfying your own lusts and appetites and turn back to the Lord. And cry out for forgiveness and repent. Otherwise, the streets are going to run with more blood. Speaking of that, we go to the murder-suicide file, where two postal workers were fatally shot at the post office in outside of Memphis. In Memphis, Memphis, Tennessee, the shooter was identified as another postal employee, and the urinalists who report this say he died from a self-inflicted gunshot. So he murdered two people and then committed suicide, is what happened. This is the third high-profile shooting in or near Memphis, Tennessee, just in the past few weeks. Tennessee is known as right in the buckle of the Bible Belt. Anyway, there was a guy owns a sushi counter. He shot and killed right in a Kroger grocery store. The sushi guy just opens fire, shoots 15 people, kills one of them, and then kills himself. This was just back at the end of September. Yeah, and then there was the school shooting in Memphis where the... Anyway, but who can keep track? Who can keep track of all the murder and the suicide? God's keeping track. God's keeping track of everyone. And the blood cries out from the ground. And eventually, the volume of that cry is going to get so loud in the ears of God that he's going to take action against those perpetrating the crime. And by the way, he doesn't have to magically, mystically step in and send lightning bolts down on anyone. He designed the system so that if you keep this up, eventually you will be destroyed. Eventually you will be destroyed. In fact, let me see, do I have... Where's my hypersonic missile story? I don't know if I... The Chinese military, who don't seem to be upset or distracted with feminism or transgendered pronouns or anything like that. The Chinese government, this is from the gender pronouns file, oddly enough, where the Financial Times published a story that's pretty terrifying. China now has a nuclear-capable hypersonic missile. It goes up into space, and it gets going super, super fast, and then it glides down onto its target. Hypersonic, said to be indefensible, at least with our current technology. Our current missile defense systems cannot, as far as we know, at least right now, defend us from the Chinese hypersonic missile that they've come up with and that shocked and surprised our military. So a little history lesson really quickly from theamericanthinker.com, and I'll link to this. Our military is focused on investing in irrelevant and at worst harmful initiatives, and it probably reminds the Chinese of their own history when they were corrupt and the Mandarins squandered the money. And anyway, the Chinese lost Korea and Taiwan to Japan because their government was corrupt and decadent. And now China wants Taiwan back. And don't think for a second that they've forgotten how they lost it in the first place. Decadent squandering of funds used for baubles instead of weapons. Interested mostly in corrupt... I'm sorry, in the interests of mostly corrupt and decadent, cowardly rulers, which is what America has at the helm of the government, at the federal level, at the state house, and in most of the pulpits, and at the head of most of the families are decadent, cowardly rulers. And there are consequences for that, America. So stop, turn, and repent. Thank you for tuning in, and I would remind you to do right and risk the consequences.
The murderers on death row today should be executed. Excuse me, what did he just say? My name's Doug McBurney, and I heard Bob Enyart say just that in 1995, and I've been listening ever since. I found out that the death penalty is at the heart of the gospel, and that Christianity and justice need not be mutually exclusive. A video titled God and the Death Penalty is available today at kgov.com. God and the Death Penalty examines God's ideas about justice. You'll learn the New Testament verses affirming the death penalty and understand why God never repealed capital punishment. Find out God's opinion. Order God and the Death Penalty today at kgov.com. That's God and the Death Penalty at kgov.com.